97 The Fan, 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA and WAMO 107.3 are partnering to support Pittsburgh public school students for the school year by providing stuffed backpacks for the Pittsburgh for PPS Backpack Drive presented by Target Freight Management. You can support by purchasing backpacks or dropping off at a location near you, including Piata Italian Street Food in Robinson and Northway Mall. For details, visit 937thefan.com to drop off your donation. Brought to you by GBU Life, Life Insurance, Annuities, and Member Benefits since 1892. Donnie Chedrick with you tonight on 93.7 The Fan, coming to you live from Dino's in Latrobe. Dino's is the perfect spot before or after practice. Enjoy cold Miller Lite Draft's award-winning chicken wings or a black and gold burger available throughout camp. And I do have to say, Dino's a spot that I've been to well over 100 times, well into the triple digits over the course of my life. I'm an area guy out here in Westmoreland County. I got to say, these sweet and hot wings from Dino's are absolutely top tier. So if you are out and about at any point over the course of training camp, you're looking for somewhere to go after practice, some great vibes, great food, cold beer, this is the place to go. Dino's in Latrobe. And right now we go out to the fan hotline and welcome in Jeff Hathorne, 93.7 The Fan sports director. Jeff, we got to get you over the phone for this one, because as part of this Hawk report in true form, you are still stuck over there at St. Vincent, unable to get away and have some of these glorious chicken wings over here at Dino's. So
I'm listening to you talk about them, and I'm wishing I was there. I was wondering, you've been there over 100 times. Do you kind of have a real sense for how the food is, or you still need another 100 more?
Well, I can say that the wings are top of the line, but I have fallen into such habit here where I get like three or four different things, and that's about it. These sweet and hot wings are so good that they are always a top choice. The slicker wing, which is kind of like a spicy barbecue, that's a good one. Their honey mustard is outstanding. But something else they do here, and I was telling T-Bird and Gabe, our two on-site engineers, they also do a wing pizza, which whatever sauce you want, they'll toss it on the chicken when they toss it on the pizza. It's phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Wow. Wow, you're going to have four producers next time you're out there. Keep talking like this.
I do think that Gorgeous Charlie Borges tried to get on the field trip as well, because Thursday nights are Joel Nelson nights back behind the glass. So I think Charlie did try to email Amanda and tried to join the parade here because he remembers how good the wings are. So I may have to. Well, no, I guess he's not even back there, so never mind. I was going to say I may have to send some back with these guys, maybe for Joel. We'll see if our buddy Joel wants some. But, Jeff, to really just capture the first day, what were some of your big underlying takeaways?
Yeah, that offense stunk. That was one of the takeaways. It was a bad day for the offense. Those things happen, and it was a – very much a, you know, t-shirt and shorts day, but it was a day for the defense. From the first pass, it was a day for the defense when Patrick Queen stepped in front of an Aaron Rodgers throw and intercepted it. They kind of set the tone, and I mean, you always hear coaches, and it's true, when they talk about their team performances and practices, it's always a double-edged sword. Defense looked good. I mean, the crowd, it was a good-sized crowd, as you can imagine. I'll say this too, Donnie. As probably no surprise, every Will Howard completion, you just kind of heard some stuff from the crowd. Oh, this guy's good. I mean, look out. I mean, this guy, oh, yeah. And what they were throwing were checkdowns, outs, curls. I mean, nothing down the field. But it was interesting to hear the fan reaction, because you could tell they're rooting for the guy. Not that they're rooting against either of the other quarterbacks, but you can feel that thought process of, oh, maybe this is going to be the guy.
Do you almost feel bad for him in a way, Jeff? Because, I mean, the guy was picked in round six. He was 185 overall. And it just seems like so many people are already trying to draw the, like, Tom Brady comparison. Like, oh, well, Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick out of the Big Ten. Let's not forget that. He was a guy that had to play a long college career. I mean, it just seems like the expectation, and, you know, Will Howard seems like a great dude and a great kid. It's just almost unfair, like, the hype that is being built around his game.
Yeah, I think that part is to an extent, but I also think he's in a perfect situation. From everything we're hearing about Aaron Rodgers, maybe contrary to what people might think, that he has been an outstanding resource early on for Howard. Howard talked glowingly today about Aaron and what he knows about the game and his willingness to share and, you know, being a kind of mentor type. And, you know, Aaron even said today, like, he's asking a lot of questions and he can ask more. Like, I'm here for him. So you have that resource. Mason has always been a good teammate, no matter what his situation has been in. And as Will was saying today, there's no pressure. He can be a sponge. He could just absorb all this knowledge, see the offense grow, and have no pressure, really, of entering a game this year. Now, that could change next year because there are a few quarterbacks that are only signed for 1 year and Mason Rudolph for two. So that could quickly change. Even injuries could change that. But as of right now, I think he's in an ideal situation where he can just kind of sit back and feel this out, and then when he goes into a preseason game and has a good game, he'll hear about how he should be the starting quarterback.
I get the feeling, Jeff, that when people put out, I mean, and this is something that we will do over the next couple of weeks for sure, like the top five guys we're most excited to watch in preseason games. You know, once we get to that point, which we will, everybody will, he's going to be high on everybody's list. And he's dude who, like you just said, he may not play in a regular season game all season, but I know at least for me, I'll probably have him in the top three. I want to see what the guy can do.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to see a lot of the starters because people are going to want to see Jalen Ramsey and Slay and how that defense looks. And, you know, they're going to want to see Jonnu Smith and some of the other guys, but that is one of the guys. And I'll say this. This is probably another one of your three that you're going to want to see. Caleb Johnson ripped off a run today. Big hole. Man, he got through that hole quick. You know, it was kind of Jalen quick. And it was just it was cool to see. That's one thing you do notice. You don't have the size of Najee. And this isn't to, you know, demean what he did in his career here, but man, you notice that speed in the backfield, even in these type of drills, of what kind of explosiveness they can have if that offensive line is clicking together.
I saw a few people make note of the play you were talking about because I think our buddy Nick Farabaugh, I think he made note of like how fast he was able to turn on the speed. I think Alex Kozora was somebody else who pointed that out, and he really does. And I know that he was a monster in the practice in shorts, football in shorts portion of the off season. But
that's what today was, to be fair.
Yeah, but it really does seem like the hype train for Caleb Johnson is just getting higher and higher. Now maybe for him, it should be. We said how it might be unfair for Will Howard to have the expectations that high, like fan expectation, but it seems like Caleb Johnson was just a dude who happened to fall to 83 in the draft, and he had no business doing so.
And Donnie, I think it is a different situation to where, yes, there are other guys in the running back room, but he can compete for more opportunities. I mean, that's not the same with Will, but with Caleb, if he's running well, if he's showing that he can handle things, he's going to get more carries. As much as Jalen is the first team running back right now, and I don't think there's a question about that, if Johnson does perform and shows some of that burst that he showed at Iowa with 21 touchdowns, I think he had, what was it, 10 touchdowns of 25 yards or more? I mean, if he can show some of that, he's just going to get more and more opportunities.
How did things look in terms of wide receivers? I saw the now viral clip of the first Aaron Rodgers pass being intercepted, which just looked like some miscommunication between QB1 and wide receiver 1.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of throws to wide receivers. I think the first completion for Rodgers may have been on just an in route to Scotty Miller for about 5 yards. Most of it was short. The only pass we saw downfield was kind of a broken coverage 7-on-7 when Darnell Washington, of all people, got free and was found by Mason Rudolph for a long game. But other than that, everything was pretty much short. So it's hard to evaluate any of those guys because they didn't get a ton of opportunities to at least downfield show what they can do. And obviously they're in shorts and t-shirts, so shorts and jerseys to be completely accurate. So they're not, you know, blocking or doing any of the other stuff as well.
Do you think Calvin Austin would be the front runner to be the realistic second wide receiver? Or do you think that would be Robert Woods, even though he's certainly on the last final holes. I won't even say back nine. He's down to the last final holes of his career.
I think it's there in front of him for Calvin. I mean, Calvin comes into camp as the number two, as not just said by media members, but said by the coaches, that he's their number two receiver. However, there are opportunities here. There's opportunity for, and I think Robert Woods has a chance. You know, if it's third and short, and it's a potential blocking situation, Woods is your best guy there. He looks for contact. He's that type of receiver that he could run no one ever runs a pick, wink, wink, but he would be a good person to maybe, you know, rub a defensive back off and to be able to do different things that aren't just catching the football. But the chance here is for Roman Wilson. He's got to show it, though. And he's also got to prove that he can play on special teams, because as you're looking at your roster, Donnie, as you know, when people will lose their mind when Ben Skoranek gets a helmet, well, Ben Skoranek's really good on special teams. Connor Hayward is really good on special teams. And essentially, I think those are two guys he either has to match or beat out in order for him to get an opportunity on Sundays. Got to show that here. Today wasn't really an opportunity to show that for any of the wide receivers.
Speaking of Connor Hayward, he has now found himself in a very crowded room of tight ends. And I know he is sort of a hybrid-like player, but, you know, nobody really uses the fullback anymore. And plus, the Steelers said that Jonnu Smith may be a hybrid-type player with them as well. I feel like the special teams ability for him, Jeff, is what's keeping him on the roster, because I feel like other than that, he's not fully entrenched, like he's not fully safe. I just think he is of use on special teams, and that's what's going to keep him on the 53.
Agreed. And he also has the side benefit of you need a running back. You know, you've got some running back injuries, you can throw him there. He obviously can play tight end. He can go into a slot situation for you. And I look at that room, it's like, man, can you dress four tight ends for a game? And I think of Darnell of the catch that I mentioned earlier during our conversation. I think it's really between when I look at those two guys, I'm like, okay, Darnell can make that catch, but you've already got two tight ends. You know Connor can play special teams. What can Darnell give you? Can he be a difference maker as a blocker? Because Connor is going to give everything in that as well. It's his versatility and those special teams is, as you mentioned. I if Killebrew wasn't around here, I think Hayward would have a chance to be a special teams captain. He can be that impactful on teams.
See, if you're asking me which one out of those two, the tight ends, Washington or Hayward, I would rather dress, I would pick Washington pretty much every time. And I know that Danny Smith and his unit, like, they are held in such high regard. But Washington, if you want him to contribute in the pass game, there's at least that possibility, for one. And, I mean, he is an elite blocker at his position. We know Jonnu Smith doesn't really prefer to block at all. and Pat Freiermuth is getting better. He's an improved blocker, I would say, from year to year. But Darnell Washington is elite at blocking, which may not really be the best part of his position, the money-making part of his position, but that's why I would give him a helmet every time over Hayward.
Well, and the offensive opportunities are there as well, but it's likely a more complicated issue than that. Like, where Tomlin was talking yesterday about guys that are football players as opposed to guys you stick to positions, and Jonnu said today before practice, kind of joked that in front of his name should just say REC instead of TE, because he feels like he can play anywhere. He can do any of the route tree. He can play anywhere up and down the line of scrimmage. And if you consider him not necessarily a tight end, then dressing Darnell and Hayward doesn't sound as, wow, you've got too many tight ends out there. Dress for a Sunday.
50-minute mark on the Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Talking to Jeff Hathorn, 93.7 The Fan, sports director. Jeff, on the defensive side of the ball, the player that I kind of comped Connor Hayward to, just given their situation, really nothing else with them as football players, I feel like DeMarvin Leal is somebody who's like an odd man out. But he plays a position where you can just never have enough bodies along the defensive line, and I'm seeing the tweets today that he was working some at edge rusher. I just feel like there is some untapped talent here with DeMarvin Leal that they need to at least try and figure out. I guess I shouldn't say that, because they are trying to figure it out, but I feel like there is just something there that needs to be uncapped.
Yeah, and injuries have sidelined him, and he's come in at different weight levels, and we've seen him try to bulk up and be a defensive tackle, and that didn't seem to work. He is slim, like an edge rusher, but is he even a top four edge rusher? I mean, is that where he can find his place on the field, as long as Sawyer can play special teams and can show that he can play at anywhere near this level? I mean, you think Sawyer's going to get an opportunity. You're right with Leal. And there are opportunities on that defensive line. I mean, look beyond the starting three. I mean, who do you got? Dean Lowry? Loudermilk? I mean, there are chances there to play, but they're also looking for guys that can stop the run. And this is, I mean, it goes without saying, given his status, his tenure in the league, that this is a huge camp for DeMarvin Leal, because, and I don't think it's just us, you kind of like, oh yeah, Leal's on this roster, because he just, either through injury or ineffectiveness, he hasn't had he hasn't really shown anything on a field in a game situation.
Yeah, I said in the first segment that it was like week, I don't know, 14 or 15 last year that I forgot he was even on the team. And I feel like he falls into that situation here, too, because he's just somebody. He gets drafted back in 2022, and I'm thinking that he is a guy that is super talented. At one point, he was somebody mocked in like the top 10 or 15 of his draft class, if you go all the way back and look at that. But he feels to me like a player you don't want to let get away without having him do something impactful here, if you get what I'm saying. Like, yeah. it's almost like a, to me, you know who he feels like a little bit is kind of how Vrabel was treated in the 90s, where like he would make some contributions, but then he really flourished on that next team.
The athleticism is there. The athleticism immediately when he came, you were thinking, well, he's got some to it in him. Like, he's got that type of athleticism that should be able to play at this level. And it just, I agree with everything you say, because when you look at his college tape and you think of the potential that is there, but he hasn't been consistent, even in a practice setting. He hasn't been consistent. And at some point, you're going to have to make that decision. I don't know if this is the year because I think there is competition that he can beat out, but you're looking at $25 million roughly in cap space. If you don't like what you're seeing from Leal, maybe he and a few others go and you go searching for somebody that gets released by somebody else.
How did Cole Holcomb look today, Jeff?
He was all right. Unfortunately for him, was part of that play where Darnell got free. But physically, he looked like he was moving fine. I can't imagine what kind of rust he must be feeling, even though he got into practices at the end of last year. I mean, he hasn't been in this type of environment in a long time. And as much as you can go through OTAs and test your knee, I'm sure there was a little bit of that out there today. And people forget Holcomb was, 142 tackles a couple of years ago? And this guy has done it at a high level in the league. And as much as it's going to be Queen and Wilson, without a Landon Roberts, I think Cole Holcomb could be a quiet key piece for this team as long as he can stay healthy and find some of that form. Because, I mean, you don't just accidentally make those kind of tackle numbers in the NFL.
Yeah, I do just worry about him being back to full health and in a full game setting. Like, I'm rooting for the guy, don't get me wrong. That injury was gruesome, and I like a lot of what he did, his body of work leading up to that, either with the Steelers or elsewhere. But I do just have that fear in the back of my mind once he gets into a full game setting, because that can also be tough for somebody mentally, too. I mean, I know these guys are NFL players. They're at the highest level of the game, but there has to be at least a little thought in the back of his mind, you know, what happened the last time he was out there for real.
And, Donnie, I give him a hell of a lot of credit. There would be probably a large percentage of guys that after the second major knee injury would just decide to move on with their life's work, and he battles. You know, he fought from the very beginning that injury happened. He wanted to be around the team as much as he could. And, I mean, he just worked out as hard as he possibly could to get himself back in this position, much like he did the first time. And it seems like it all seems there. Let's see what happens when he gets into a game situation. And to your point, if he can stay healthy, I mean, he can be an attribute to this defense.
Who was your favorite out of the rookies to watch on the defensive side? A handful of guys there that were picked. A couple of dudes that got drafted in the 7th round, Y.A. Black in the 5th round, then obviously the two biggies. You have Derek Harmon and then Jack Sawyer.
Yeah, Harmon to me. He knocked a couple of passes down. He was active. Again, no pads, so I don't want to throw too much into it. You know, him being a little disruptive, but I mean, just the ability to make sure he gets his hands up and seemed to go to the sidelines and was, you know, taking in what everybody was saying. And without being too obvious and saying the number one pick, I would say the number one pick. I mean, he at times was noticeable out there, again, even in a non-padded practice setting.
You think he'll start right away?
Mm-hmm. I do. I do think he'll start right away. I don't even think that's a question.
I don't want them to mess around with him. I feel like they've gotten caught a couple of times in the past with players where...
And,